A good Monday morning to you. It is time now for The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. And here are your hosts, W.K. and Ken Boyce. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Ben.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. This country is in need of men. There was a young man that had a student come to him as a class project, and he wanted to recognize this junior executive for the help that he had given the student to look at his future and to make some plans, some tentative plans about the goals for his future and how to reach those goals. And so he let the young student pin a ribbon over his heart, and on the ribbon it says, "Who I am makes a difference." And he said, if you would, take this ribbon, these other two ribbons, and give it to somebody that you admire. And so the junior executive thought about it for a while, and he went in to see his boss. And his statement to his boss was, you know, I think that you are a creative genius. Now, his boss wasn't known for being a very kind man, a very gentle man, a very humble man. In fact, he was known as a grouch. He was known as a real hard driving force in the workforce in that town. But the words of the junior executive caught him off guard. He says, you think I'm a creative genius? And he said, yes, sir. And I'd like to give you this ribbon. I'd like to pin it on you that says, who I am makes a difference. Well, this boss was just flabbergasted, really setting back on his heels. And the junior executive said, if you would, take this other ribbon that says, who I am makes a difference. And I'd like for you to continue this small ceremony and present this ribbon to someone who has made a difference in your life, someone that may really you look up to, someone that you really admire. Well, the boss really thought about it all afternoon. In fact, even on his way home, he was thinking about it, and he thought about his 14-year-old son. Well, that night, this boss, who was the dad of this 14-year-old, went to his son. He went up to his, went into the den. And he set him down. He said, son, I know I haven't spent a lot of time with you lately. I know a lot of my time has been spent at the office, and we haven't gone anywhere, really done anything together in a long time, and I want to apologize for that. Because, son, I love you. And other than your mom, you're the most important person in my life. And the son began to sob. And he sobbed, and tears flowed down his face. And he said, Dad, I had no idea that you felt like this. In fact, I thought I didn't mean anything to you at all. There's a letter up in my room that I've written explaining to your mom why I killed myself tonight. And between the sobs, he said, Dad, I won't need that letter. The father, heartbroken, walked up the stairs to the son's room, and he found the letter on the dresser, and he read it, and the dad began to sob. He took that letter back down in his hand where his son was in the den, and he said, son, I want to give you this ribbon. I want to put it over your heart that says who you are makes a difference. And the dad and son tore the letter up together. We need men in this country who are raising their sons to be men. We need men in this country who knows what manhood is about. We need men in this country who knows that work is not what their life is consisting of. We need men in this country that absolutely love their wives and their daughters, who have a profound respect and will honor women for who they are, as human beings instead of possessions. We need men in this country who love righteousness more than selfishness. We need men who have grown up and have put aside childhood, who are no longer the little boy, but who will stand up for values and principles that they have embraced to base their life upon. These non-negotiable, unreleasable principles. We need men. If we're going to raise another generation of men, we've got to be men. One of the characteristics of marriages that I see that I work with in counseling, sometimes are men who are authoritarian and who batter their wives and who are very selfish and self-centered and who express anger outwardly. But more marriages that I work with, more than that, are marriages where the men are absent, where women describe to me they feel like they have another child in the house, that they're having to mother this husband and be responsible for everything on an adult level, about the house, about their family, about the growth of their family, the decisions that have been made, about the finances. Everything is left upon her shoulders. And these men are very passive, and they're not leaders, and they're not accepting responsibility. And their sons and their daughters are suffering along with the mother. We need men in this country. All you men who are there listening this morning, I want us to examine ourselves about our manhood, about, first of all, what we saw and modeled for us as we were growing up, and how we became men. What was the process that we went through to become men? Did we go through a process? That's something that we really need to examine in our culture today.
Well, just looking at culture overall, it's not hard to see examples of where manhood has failed, where men did not step up, and the kids are paying for it, the women are paying for it, families in general are paying for it, and the communities in which they live are paying for it.
In so many different ways.
So many different ways. We have entire generations that are growing up not knowing who their father is. Mm-hmm. Having brothers and sisters, that all of our brothers and sisters have different dads, and none of us know our fathers. And we wonder why the breakdown. If you look in the prison system, and you look at the statistics that come from the prisons about the number of people who, from ethnic backgrounds to crimes that were done, one of the major consistencies in that is a lack of having true men in their lives. Men that stand up, men that lead, men that take responsibility and show the young men how to become men.
We have a lot of men in prisons, but also out on the street, who are little boys in big bodies. And a lot of you women who are listening this morning know exactly what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. It's true. We have men who are grown physically, who may be 25, 35, 45, even 55 years of age, but who still may emotionally be a 10 to 12-year-old boy. Emotionally are at that level. And that's how it feels to the wife of this man, who feels like she has to watch out for everything that he does. She has to watch out for how he behaves with the children. She has to be careful of how they interact among their friends. And she's constantly walking on eggshells. And she's tired of it. You're tired of it. You want him to grow up. Stop being a little boy. And I know women come in and say, how can I get my husband to grow up? And the first thing I tell them is that you can't do it. You can't do it. Women cannot make boys men. Women cannot turn boys into men. That's not the responsibility of the mom.
Or the wife.
Absolutely. In many cultures around the world, as anthropologists have studied different cultures and different societies, one of the things that they found out that's missing in our culture that's in theirs, in other cultures around the world, is that there's a process, there's a point in time in which young boys are taken from their mothers to become associated with men. There's one culture that, in fact, the young boys get to be about 11, 12 years of age, and up until that time, they have no real association with men, and they're taken care of by the women. They stay close by the women, and the women watch over them and make sure that they're fed and kept safe. But there's a point in time, there's a night in which the men of the village will go in and take those boys of that age out of the home. And there's a lot of weeping and wailing, and the mothers are just in tears and begging them not to take her son. But they take him. Because it's time for him to be in the association of men, into the company of men. And they'll take those boys out. They'll take them out for about 3 weeks. And they will allow those boys to be by themselves. Kind of a survival test to see how they can cope with being on their own. Now, in some of these cultures, some of those boys die because they just don't have the maturity to think and to process and to have the problem-solving skills to look for food and to find what they need and make their way back to the village. But when those boys that survive come back, there's a great company of men that are welcoming them. Now, those boys don't go back to their homes. When they come back to the village, they go into the company of men. And they go through a ritual of being identified as, now you are a man. At this point in time, you used to be a boy, but now you are a man, and you are expected to accept the responsibilities and to shoulder the responsibilities of being a man. And then never again go back into being under the oversight of their mothers. We don't have that in our country today. We don't have that marker event that says you have passed from being a boy and become a man. Well, we have a lot of things in our culture today that you become a man when you smoke your first cigarette. You become a man when you have your first sex. You become a man when, and you just fill in the blank. But it has nothing to do with being welcomed into manhood in the company of men. And that's what's missing in our culture. We need that. Because women, moms, and wives cannot turn boys into men. It takes men to turn boys into men. If you'd like to comment on what we're talking about this morning, give us a call at 862-9977. Outside of Springfield, 1-800-375-0056. Or if you're on cell phone, star 56. I know that some of the things we're going to say about manhood and about what it means to become a man, what it means to be a man, what it means to act like a man, you may want to comment on. And we welcome your comments.
If you've had examples of men in your life that made a difference, and you want to brag about them, you want to tell, this person made all the difference in the world to me in my life, call up, brag on them on the air. If you have examples of someone that wasn't necessarily the best, and how in the world do you get past that point, give us a call.
Yeah, Thomas Carlyle said, show me the man you honor, and I will know what kind of man you are. For it shows me what your ideal of manhood is and what kind of man you long to be. And that is so true. Our boys today need men who are the epitome of manhood, not the epitome of womanhood. There's a commercial about a new show coming out this fall in which some men are sitting around and they're talking about themselves as men and kind of what their trials and temptations are. And one of the comments that one of the men make among the group there says that we are the new woman. And I thought, how true that is. Now, I don't think the writers meant that to be taken in that sense. But men can never be women. Men have to be men. And women cannot turn boys into men. Now, women can turn boys into feminized men. Now, I'm not talking about effeminate. I'm not talking about transsexuals and gender blenders. I'm not talking about them. I'm not talking about moms turning their sons to gay. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about are men who are still little boys who still have number one devotion to mom. Because growing up, she taught him to see the world through her eyes. She taught him to think how she thinks. She taught him to feel her feelings. And so we have men today who've grown up and they are still devoted to mom because she is the ideal of women in his life. You know, the old saying is that if mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Well, there's another line right under that, which he tells his wife, either overtly or covertly, is that if mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, and you don't cross mama. That mom is still the number one woman in his life, including in his marriage. And it causes a lot of upheaval in those marriages.
It's amazing how many, for lack of a different definition, how many men still live at home under mama in their 30s, all the way up into their 40s, are still having mama take care of them.
That is so true, yeah. Yeah, and their wives would say amen. That's exactly right. Preach it on. That's right. And they are so tired of hearing about how mama does it, and they are really tired, the wives are tired of mom interfering in the decisions and the choices that she makes, how she wants to decorate their home and how she believes things need to be done. Mom steps in and says, no, that's not right. If you really want it done right, you do it this way. And husband sides with mom. Now, there's a lot of problems in marriages. Moms cause a lot of problems in marriages. I'm not blaming mom. I'm not here to blame anybody. It's not about blame. It's about understanding where those boundaries are and what this boy needs to grow up to become. Men never prosper if there's no men in their life. If a boy grows up and he has no men, and this is what you refer to, Ken, if there are no men in a boy's life, instead of becoming a man, he becomes angry. He seeks power. He seeks manipulation. He seeks control because he feels out of control for how he is. There's a book out that I would recommend that you read called Wild at Heart. I would recommend all men to read that book. I'd recommend the wives to read that book. And if you're not married yet, I recommend young women to read that book about manhood. Because men are wild at heart. Men are not to be passive. Men are to be active. They are to be achievers. They are to be explorers. They have a curiosity. They want to conquer. That's part of the testosterone coursing through their veins. They have to achieve. They have to accomplish. There's a sense of conquering. Those are needs that boys have and have to learn how to channel to become very successful in their manhood. Margaret Mead, an anthropologist back some years ago, in studying different societies and different cultures around the world, came to two conclusions. One was, number one, that man's role is uncertain, undefined, and perhaps unnecessary. Now, when I read that first, that kind of took me back. Second one was that women want mediocre men, and men are working to be as mediocre as possible. I have women ask me all the time, where are the real men? Where can I find a real man? I'm not talking about the bar scene, these guys that come up and hit on you, and all they want is to get into your pants. I don't want a man like that. Where can I go to find a real man? There seems to be a shortage of men in our culture. Men who can stand up and define themselves and define their principles and define their values and know how to treat people and know how to respect people. There's a real shortage of that. I have a lot of women coming to my office, single women, and saying, I would give anything if I could find a gentleman. I'd give anything if I find a man who really has a spiritual side in his life. Now, a lot of women will settle for mediocre men because she was raised up having modeled before her that mom takes care of it all. Mom is to be the dominant one. She is the one to take care of the bills. She's the one to discipline the children. She's the one to take the children to church or to teach them spirituality. She is responsible for all those things. And therefore, this daughter grows up and she looks for a man who will fulfill that role. Now, if you want a mediocre man, there are plenty of them out here. There are plenty mediocre men who are really just little boys yet, emotionally, immaturity. And if you want one of those, there's plenty of them. But if you want a man, you're going to have to look. You're going to have to look.
As we come back, what we're talking about in general is the identity and roles of who we are, who God made us. We've talked about this a little bit in the previous weeks, talking about asserting oneself, about being who you are. And did you know that the daughters actually find out what a woman's like because it's through her father, because she's not what her dad is?
That's right.
And a son finds out what a man's role should be because it's different from the mother. And so we're talking about identifying. We're talking about setting up the boundaries, respecting the boundaries, and being able to fulfill who we should be. And we'll be back.
You're listening to The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. And once again, here are your hosts, W.K. and Ken Boyce, with the second half of the program.
Welcome back. There was a man that came into the kitchen. His wife was making breakfast and fried eggs for him, and he walked up behind her and he says, careful, careful, put in some more butter. Oh my goodness, you're cooking too many at one time, too many. Turn them now. We need more butter. Oh my goodness, where are we going to get more butter? They're going to stick. Careful, careful. I said, be careful. You never listen to me when you're cooking. Never. Turn them. Hurry up. Don't forget to salt them. Are you crazy? Have you lost your mind? You know, you always forget to salt them. Use the salt. Use the salt. The salt. Well, the wife just stared at him. What is wrong with you? You think I don't know how to fry a couple of eggs? And the husband looked at her square in the eye and said, I wanted to show you what it feels like to have you sitting next to me when I'm driving. Now, I know a lot of guys identify exactly with that story. But I want you to identify with what we're talking about even more strongly this morning. And that is, men be men. God put you on this earth to be a man. If you're a male, he put you on this earth to be a man. Not a little boy. Not a little boy who goes around stomping his foot at his wife and screaming and throwing temper tantrums and wanting his way all the time. But to be a man. Now, I don't know what kind of father you had growing up or even if you knew your dad growing up. Some of you men had very loving fathers and strong men who modeled manhood courageously for you. But even more of you men didn't. Our culture is increasingly becoming fatherless. And as a result of that, over the past several generations, our culture is increasingly losing its manhood. And no one can have manhood but men. And no one can raise boys into men but other men.
There was a study. Actually, it was an experiment. They were trying to reestablish a herd of elephants there in Africa. So they had gone to a preserve up north and decided, well, if we're going to reestablish them down here, let's go ahead and get a couple of younger ones. That way they can come down here, be well established, acclimate to it, and grow up down here, and then be able to raise other elephants. So they went and they got these two young bull calves, and they got a couple of the females, and they moved them down to this area. These young bulls just absolutely just went wild. They ran everywhere. They ran through everything. They tore up trees. They went through fences. They just absolutely went crazy. It was getting so bad that they were tearing up the game preserve, that the game wardens were scared to go out in their vehicles because these bulls would run at the vehicles. They honestly thought, you know, we're going to have to put these animals down. This isn't going to work. One of the older gentlemen there goes, no. Let's go back up north. Let's go get two of the elder bulls and two of the elder females. And we're going to bring them down and introduce them into this herd also. So they went up, they brought those bulls, those elder elephants down. And those young bulls settled down. Those older males set them straight.
Had a calming effect on them.
Had a very much a calming effect on them. Turns out that they needed the boundaries to be able to grow up in also. Yeah, physically, you know, these young bulls were mature enough to be able to breed and continue a herd. But they had no control, no learning of being able to manage the herd, where the older bulls did. And it worked. Reestablishing, having good examples, bringing in the older bulls to be able to run it and let them grow up through that. And it worked.
That's a great example. That's exactly what happens to boys. Boys go wild until older men come in. Boys will try to run over everyone until older men come in and have an influence in their life and model for them how to act like a man. Not only that, but they hold these boys accountable for principles of maturity. They hold them accountable. Men will never mature unless they're held accountable. I want everyone to grab hold of that principle. You have to be held accountable, and there has to be a relationship between boys and older men, where men are modeling what it means to be assertive, to be responsible, to be respectful, to be honest, to have initiative, to set goals. These older men are teaching these younger boys how to live in those boundaries.
You know, another example of having men in the boys' lives. In sports today, we see these incredible athletes that have amazing talent, incredible gifts from God. But we see these boys, these young men, instantly become millionaires overnight. Dan was talking about this during the break. Once they receive the money and they're outside mom's control of the house, they go into college ball or go into professional ball, they absolutely go wild. Not only do they go wild, they lose their money. Before they know it, everything's burned out. They've lost their money. They're now doing jail time. They get involved in all kinds of areas because there is no accountability. There's no responsibility. No one taught them how to be men. No one taught them how to effectively manage even their own money.
Yeah.
And so they have a lot of money, but they have a poverty mentality.
Yeah.
Which is just living for the moment, getting everything I can out of it because it may not be there tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you see this football player accused with a dog fighting and the whole scandal that's going on now. We have all these numerous examples. But then you look at Tiger Woods.
Mm-hmm. Great example.
Whose father was there, whose father helped teach him, not only teach him golf, but how to be a man, how to live life. And you look at the example of Tiger Woods versus Vic, it is such an amazing comparison. It's a blatant comparison of what it is to have real men in our lives versus not.
Absolutely. The boy who wants to become a man must be accountable to other men. And the man who wants to remain a man and to continue to mature into further manhood needs men to be accountable to. One of the great, talking about poverty, how we act if we have a poverty mindset. Mm-hmm. One of the great poverty areas in men's lives are not having effective relationships with other men, having effective relationships with older men. All men at every age need a mentor, someone who has passed through this stage of life and who can help guide them through this stage of life. They need a guide to walk with them. They need someone to help them understand and how to process the information, how to come to decisions without making the decisions for them, and how they can model for them how someone who's come through this stage behaves on the other side of the stage. Because that determines how you enter into the next stage of life. And there's a real poverty of relationship among men.
Even those that had fathers that have always remained faithful to their mom, married their mom, always brought food home to the table, etc. A lot of the most successful fathers I know were also some of the least successful dads. Now, there's a difference between being a father and being a dad. Gentlemen, if we're out there and we work well, our jobs and our careers are important to us. Even though we provide food, even though we provide a nice house, even though we provide money to be able to take care of our families, none of those things can replace our role as a dad. The other day, I got a call from my daughters about 9 o'clock in the evening. I had gone back to the office to be able to take care of some stuff. And she called saying, "Daddy, we've got a magic show for you." Okay. She asked when I was coming home and what I was doing. I told her I was editing at the time. So I stopped the editing I was doing, turned out the lights, went back home, and I got to have a magic show. Magic show was 3 minutes long. But I got to have a magic show. We got together. We went upstairs, got him in bed, tucked him in, gave him hugs and kisses. We got to read a story together, and they got to go to sleep. They don't care about the work I'm doing. They only care about being with me. And they have to have that time with the parents. They have to have that time with the mom. So we can be successful, but we still have to keep our priorities straight. And this is being a man. This is taking responsibility as a man. This morning, we talked a lot about men that didn't. We talked about unsuccessful manhood. We talked about different examples of men that just are little boys still. This is not a man-bashing episode. This is an empowering show. This is having men take responsibility, accept accountability, and to be able to be men. And this is a good thing because when we have men that step up to the plate, our families are stronger. Our marriages are stronger. Our children grow up with fewer problems. This is one of the basic core elements to a successful society in general.
That's so true. Talking about time, when we're in a marriage and in a family, as a husband and as a father, as the man, then our wife and our children, and I want you to hear this, men, our wife and our children care much less about what we give them, what we bring home to give them, what we're able to buy for them, than they do bringing ourselves home to them. Now grab hold of that. There's a lady I was working with whose husband was a workaholic. He was gone all the time. He brought her home a watch, was a very, very expensive watch. She came into my office wearing the watch, and she took it off. And she showed it to me. She held it out. She was crying. She was angry. And she said, "This is what he brought me for my birthday." Oh, well, that's pretty nice.
My wife would like it.
But in her tears, she said, "I would trade this watch for just 30 minutes of walking down a dirt road with him one evening where we could just talk, where he would open up and share himself with me. That's stuck in my mind ever since. Peter Kraft said, instead of being master of time and servant of truth, modern man thinks he is the master of the truth and servant of time. That describes a lot of us men. We need to rethink our priorities and rethink what it means to be the man in our life today, to assert ourselves as the man in our life today.
As we're coming to an end on the show, the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, who puts this on, is dedicated to making a difference. This is dedicated to make a difference at the individual level, the couple level, the family level, which consequently will make a difference across the city and state and country. If you have questions, if you have concerns, if you're wanting to find out how to do something better, call us at the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Set up a time to talk to someone to be able to together get to the point you want to be. Give us a call at 882-6767. 882-6767. You're looking out on the internet at springfieldmfi.com.
You can email us also.
Oh, that's true. At info@springfieldmfi.com. It's on the website. Email us. Give us a call. Take action. And again, it's your life.
It's your choice.
Make it a great one.